The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
8 o'clock hour. How are we doing? 866-660-5759. Let's dive right to some phone calls. Some folks have been waiting during the top of the hour. I've got some more excerpts from President Trump's news conference coming out of the NATO talks this morning. And it's an interesting case study. Rhonda brought me some excerpts and said, listen to the difference between the questions posed by the international reporters from various countries and the questions posed by the snotty American reporters, who are there with an agenda in most cases. And that's to make President Trump look like a wheels-off bull in a china shop, doing damage to America's reputation, fracturing allegiances, jeopardizing the relationship we have with our allies. Which, and it's funny, pardon me for taking this back to personal relationships, but sometimes the analogy works. Have you ever had a friend or a relative and you tap dance around everything, you tiptoe, you never really deal with the issue and things just fester? Their behavior never gets better. Maybe they owe you money. Maybe they've promised to start doing something or stop doing something and they just don't do it. You are an enabler. You're getting used. Your frustration grows until finally you just have to speak some truth and lay it on the table. Have a come to Jesus meeting and say, dude, I need my money. Or Bob, I need my pruning shears. Or, you know, Uncle Fred, you got to start, showing up for birthdays or whatever. And then the air is cleared. The air is cleared. You've delivered some tough love. It shakes the cage a little bit. And people start acting better because you called them on it. You called them on their crap. And it gets better. Now, sometimes it just gets terribly worse in the case of a really deeply dysfunctional relationship. But this ain't that dysfunctional. It's other countries. It's other countries. And they have been coddled and babied. And their failures tolerated for so long by presidents of both parties that when this president comes in and says, yeah, the free ride is over. The American taxpayers are no longer going to shoulder the burden of global defense disproportionately. Of course, there are going to be people going, whoa. But once it's said, once it's out there, there is something soul cleansing about it. There is something energizing about it. And that's what has happened. But that's not the narrative you're going to get. And some of these questions, in fact, one of the first questions that you'll hear President Trump answer was from an American reporter who says, are you concerned that the allies may be stressed and you've placed undue stresses on the relationships? And are you concerned about that? Yeah. He's losing sleep about that. All righty, let's grab some calls, see what's going on. We got a lot going on. The Kavanaugh timeline, I'm starting to get some intel on the Kavanaugh timeline. And that is that the hearings on Kavanaugh, this is not in concrete, the hearings on Kavanaugh could begin on Monday, August 27th. That is plenty of time. I mean, what's this? July 12th? It's a month and a half to go through. Listen, I know he's got years and years and years of jurisprudential writings and credit card receipts. You heard that story. Oh, by the way, thanks to everybody for hanging out with me last evening, afternoon slash evening, on the Larry Elder Show. That was kind of a last minute thing. Larry called away to do something, and they said, hey, can you do Wednesday and Thursday? I said, I can do Wednesday. So I did, and it was great. And I was probably 30, 40 minutes into the Elder Show, and bing, 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 Washington Post, Washington Post. So you're instantly going to take it with some size of grain of salt. And it was the story that the Post had discovered in some financial filings, and the White House had confirmed that Brett Kavanaugh had at one point amassed some pretty goodly thousands of dollars of credit card debt on Washington Nationals season tickets. Oh, the humanity! Now, it's kind of funny. Financial disclosure statements give you a pretty wide berth. There's like some boxes you can check, like how much debt did you have? Somewhere between $50,000 and $200,000. You know, it's like, whoa. I think there's a difference between $51,000 and $199,000. But hey, it's a little loosey-goosey on the form, and that's the one he checked. So, and he had like three of those and then a line of credit loan. Now, apparently what Judge Kavanaugh was in the habit of doing was buying big blocks of tickets for his beloved Washington Nationals and going to baseball games. He said his dad loved sports. He said he loved going to sporting events with his kiddos. Well, he apparently loves going with a lot of people. And listen, maybe he had an in with the Nationals ticket office and maybe got some really great seats. And I told the story on the Elder Show that I did this once. I went in with like three guys on Mavericks season tickets, because who can go to 81 or even 40 home games, 41 home games? Who can do that? And in baseball, don't even get me started. How do you go to 81 home Ranger season tickets? What do you do with those? What really do you do? Do you sell them to people sometimes? Or whatever. And so he was buying big chunks of baseball season tickets, and in some cases just giving them away. But in other cases, it was understood that he would be repaid. We're kind of back to our subject 5 minutes ago. Some people might have been a little slow in paying Judge Kavanaugh back, but they eventually did. And then you know what he did last year? Paid off the entire credit card debt. Paid off the entire credit card debt. So he was in some pretty serious debt and paid it off. Our country should do as well. And the Post hit this as like, you know, red alert, danger, Will Robinson. Like, what? And the first thing that occurred to me is we're looking for someone to replace Anthony Kennedy. We're not looking for someone to sit in for Dave Ramsey. So if this is the best they have, and when they truly have nothing, and it appears that they truly have nothing, just get ready for more. Get ready for more little piddly squat things, molehills turned into mountains, by people on the left, in the Senate, in the dominant media culture, looking to destroy Judge Kavanaugh because they can't stand the fact that here comes a constitutionalist, textualist, originalist justice. They fear the Constitution. And that seems like a really in-your-face, blatant thing to say. I think about these things. I don't just make them up. The left fears the Constitution. The actual words of the Constitution are an aggression, a macro aggression. The Constitution's cavernous lack of a right to abortion looms large, and they know that the jig is just about up, that the 45 years of the phony discovery of a right to abortion may be about to expire. I hear a ton of people saying, well, I don't know if Kavanaugh would rule against Roe v. Wade. Well, I guess I don't know either, But if he is the constitutionalist that that he purports to be, he will. And then he said in his own remarks, as President Trump introduced him the other night, he said, well, you know, I go by what the Constitution actually says, informed by history, tradition, and precedent. Yeah, I'm a fan of all three in certain contexts. But there's no piece of history that suddenly makes a right to abortion in the Constitution. There's no tradition that suddenly creates a right to abortion in the Constitution. And there is no precedent, not even the infamous Roe v. Wade, that suddenly places, bing, a unicorn in the garage. I just stumbled across that. I'm going to use that until he's confirmed. Is there a unicorn in the garage? You may think there's a unicorn in the garage. You may wish there were a unicorn in the garage. You may open the garage door and say you see one. But you know what? There ain't no unicorn in the garage. And that fact does not matter whether you are pro-unicorn or anti-unicorn. Do you understand my metaphor? All righty. We are in Allen, Texas. Hey, Carolyn, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
What's up?
Mark. I heard some languaging the other day on a show. They were talking about pro-choice abortion as a woman's right to dignity, a woman's right to health care,
mm-hmm.
a woman's right to preserve her health care choices.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem with this is the few women who truly are medically incapable of carrying a child, it's such a small number of who's really having abortions. And I just want to hear people who are pro-choice, whether they're Republican or Democrat, say, I'm defending a woman's right to use abortion as birth control.
Yeah, retroactive birth control.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and Carolyn, thank you. And this takes me directly to a tweet you may have heard about from the folks at NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, the National Abortion Rights Action League, right?
Uh-huh.
This was a magical moment on Twitter yesterday. You ready? Here's how on topic they are. Here's how strong and confident they are in their logic. They're going to make fun of Judge Kavanaugh's name and go middle school taunting on him. And then ultimately evoke the ghoulish code language of the abortion rights advocates. You ready? We'll be damned if we're going to let five men, including some frat boy named Brett. Frat boy named Brett? Frat boy? Have you seen Judge Kavanaugh? He's at CYO and coaching the kids in basketball and delivering meals to the poor. And he's neck deep in legal reading. He's very nearly a legal dork. The man is very nearly a constitutional nerd. There is nothing frat boy about him. Frat boy named Brett. Anyway, let me reset. We'll be damned if we're going to let five men, including some frat boy named Brett, strip us of our hard-won bodily autonomy and reproductive rights. There it is. Reproductive rights. The right to reproduce or not. The right to have children or not. I get that. But guess what? Moment you become pregnant, you're a mother. You have either, if you have not chosen to have a child, you've chosen to engage in behavior that could well result in one. And if it results in one, guess what? There he is. There she is. Then the question becomes, are you or are you not going to kill him or her? Reproductive rights. Here's a relatively new one. I guess I've seen this somewhere before. Bodily autonomy. it sounds like an avant-garde dance troupe out of Brooklyn. Ladies and gentlemen, bodily autonomy. Bodily autonomy and reproductive rights. That's NARAL's tweet. Back off, Brett. Back off. Well, you know what, NARAL folks? There are babies growing today and who will grow in the future. And they would like you to back off their right to be born. 822-866-660-5759. I tell you what, let's do. Coming up Wednesday of next week, Crossroads Diner, we have a listener lunch. Let's do a password, shall we? Let me utter a password now that I'll ask back for at some point pretty soon. And then when I ask it back, here, I'll give you the password, write it down, fuse it to your forehead, whatever you need to do. And then go to the Mark Davis Show Facebook page and like us. Click like, boop, because that means when Rhonda puts up the template that says, hey, let us have that password back, then you put something in the comment section, not the personal message, direct message, comment section. You give us that password back, and that's five, another five. The first five of you, but go five deep, 10 deep, 12 deep, because we got to confirm everybody. When we do that on the Mark Davis Show Facebook page and you give us the password back. First timers, we want to share the love. So here we go. Ready? Okay, this works.
The password is Kavanaugh. Yeah, there you go. The password is Kavanaugh.
Spelling does not count. It does in life. It does in your world. Learn it anyway. It is with a K. I'm a big fan of spelling. Spelling is good, good, good. But I'm not going to deny somebody a shot at the listener lunch because they deliver Kavanaugh with a C. No, you are banished. No, I'm not going to do that. That would be wrong of me. So anyway.
The password is Kavanaugh.
So when we ask for that back, here in a little bit, you'll know when I do it because I'll say, hey, give me that back. You go to the Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Rhonda will have plastered a template up there that says, hey, give us that password back. You do so. First five people who do it that we can confirm with. So, you know, keep going. If you see the first five and go, I lost. Now, go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deep. And there we go. Okay. I hope we can get a bunch of folks in there for the listener lunch show next Wednesday, 11:30. Oh, it is, by the way, if you do this, it is your commitment, your blood oath that you will show up. We're not playing around here. 11:30, Crossroads Diner next Wednesday, northeast corner of Preston and Campbell. All righty. Mark Davis, 824.
Sometimes you just need some top.
ZZ Top, and what's up with that?
What is up with that? What is up with that?
866-660-5759. We have a musical birthday of note is Christine McVie. It occurs to me, I never threw down the number. Mike was so eager to hop on whatever the first thing on Mike's head was. Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac, right? You know, she's about as old as the Beatles. She had some years on her when they were, you know, putting together the original, you know, the Peter Green, Bob Welch incarnation of Fleetwood Mac. Christine McVie today is 75. She looks great. She sounds great. She'll be out on tour with the whole Fleetwood Mac lineup, minus Lindsey Buckingham. Filling in for Lindsey Buckingham, two people, Neil Finn of Crowded House on the vocals. That'll be great. And filling my heart on the guitars for Fleetwood Mac in this tour coming up, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And speaking of TP and the HB, put in your pre-order today for American Treasure. Just do Tom Petty, American Treasure on the Google or find my tweetified link about it last night. It is a it's about 60 things, some undiscovered stuff, some unreleased stuff. Tom's wife and daughter have curated and compiled this, and it's going to be great. And it's released on September 28th. And so go get that. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, American Treasure. You can pre-order it now. So I'm going through some of my favorite Fleetwood Mac stuff with Christine McVie on the lead vocal. So let's get ready for some of that as soon as we hop into the newsroom, where Nikki Whaley is filling in for Gordon Griffin. Some of my favorite Fleetwood Mac records are the Christine McVie songs. 1988, As Long As You Follow.
As Long As You Follow.
Which was a single they released along with their greatest hits in 88.
I'm gonna beg, steal, borrow.
Christine McVie is 75 today. How cool is that? whatever she's doing, we should be doing it. And so the question arises, Christine McVie, still married to Fleetwood Mac bassist John McVie? No! They divorced. They got married in 1968 and divorced. Remember, all part of the intrigue of Fleetwood Mac is they were coming out with that first eponymous album called Fleetwood Mac. And then Rumors, which a few of us bought, 75, 76. That's when their relationship was just going right into the tank. And they divorced in 1976. And Christine was single and then met a keyboard player, a Portuguese keyboard player. Sounds like a guy with a monkey on his shoulder. No, a guy of some musical heft named Eduardo Quintela, Eddie Quintela. And they got married in 1986 and started writing songs together. Songs you've heard. Remember Little Lies from Tango in the Night? That's Christine McVie and Eddie Quintela. Isn't It Midnight? Also from Tango in the Night? That's Christine McVie and Eddie Quintela. Did that marriage last? No! They divorced in 2003 and... I don't know if Christine is available or dating. I don't know. But she is 75 and lovely and hugely talented. So we're throwing down some Fleetwood Mac Christine McVie action today on her birthday. All right, 866-660-5759. Let's take care of some more folks on the phone and then some more Trump audio from Brussels and other stuff in the news. We are in Corinth. Kieran, welcome. Mark Davis, how are you?
I'm good. I just had a question.
Yes.
Well, I've been trying to get through for a minute, and I just wanted to see why you think you're qualified to talk about reproductive rights, you not having a uterus and all.
Because I'm a human being.
Okay.
So the notion of when life begins, what kind of abortion laws we should have, are not exclusively reserved to women. Here's another thing. If there's any baby born, I kind of had a part of that. You did, too, if you're a dad. You know, women have a certain vested interest, no doubt, because the pregnancy takes place within them. No doubt about that. However, that doesn't mean that they're the only people who get a vote here or the only people with any interest in determining what happens to the babies in their wombs.
Well, what happens to the babies after? Because that's the whole issue I seem to have with this sort of ideal that we should carry each pregnancy to term. Because, you know, the right is so concerned with having the baby. I would like to finish my thought, and then I'll hear your report. I don't think it's very fair because the right is so concerned with getting babies out. But, you know, when they get out, they can go into foster care and, you know, end up in a gutter for all you guys give a crap.
You're funny. You're awesome. Are you for real?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's spend a moment. You okay? Because this is going to be a good time. And I love
it. Are you going to get to 20 or are you just going to keep acting like a douchebag?
Nah. Yeah, I'm the one acting like a douchebag. All right, here we go. If there is an unwanted pregnancy, it is the conservative view that the baby deserves to be born. If you disagree with that, okay, you're entitled to that. That makes you pro-choice. The notion that the right is unconcerned about what happens after birth is a damnable lie. The crisis pregnancy centers, the world of adoption, the adoption, not abortion, that is what the right has always been about. And the finding of a loving home is something that I care about as much as you. The difference between us seems to be that just because some births might take place in difficult circumstances, you are willing to embrace the notion of killing the unborn baby, and I'm not. Floor is yours.
All righty. Well, I think that's a perfectly reasonable argument, but I think you're kind of over. Sorry, I'm looking for the right word here. I think you're kind of over important. Fuck, what's the word? Sorry, didn't mean to cuss.
Then don't. Get some control, dude. You're okay. Go ahead.
Well, I think you're blowing the value of a bundle of cells a couple of weeks. I get the late term pregnancy. I understand that.
Really? Okay. Then let's go to 11 weeks. Okay, let's just pick a time. 11 weeks. The reason I pick that is when the mother, and she is the mother, tends to go to the doctor to hear something at the doctor's office. To hear. You know what they go to the doctor to hear at about 11 weeks, Kieran? The heartbeat. The heartbeat from that bundle of cells. Do you want to revisit that dismissive characterization of a distinct human life?
Well, not necessarily.
Why not?
I'm just, actually, no, I will revisit it.
Okay.
I'm just saying I think we're over.
But why? I get that we are giving undue importance to the early stage of pregnancy. I hear you. I'm asking you why. This is an entity that has a heartbeat of its own. Please tell me why you think I am overvaluing that. Why?
Well, because I think you're overvaluing the thing that hasn't come out yet as opposed to the thing that's carrying
it. It hasn't come out yet. So if it hasn't come out yet, you can kill it. Really?
Say that's a broad generalization. I was just saying.
That's exactly your view.
That's not exactly my view. My view is that if a baby is not in a proper position to be born or does not have a great situation to be born into, I think it might be a little bit, I don't know, putting it out of its misery to not grow up in a house that does not love it, nor does it not want it.
This is cartoonish. I couldn't write a better script for someone to come across ghoulish and cruel, and I don't think you want to. I think you're probably an okay guy. You are literally telling me that if the childhood might be, I mean, listen, I'll tell you, in that case, using that logic, let's go to some housing projects. Let's go into some of the hollows of West Virginia and let's have forced abortions, because doggone it, in that house right there, they got four babies already. You know, Kieran and I have decided you can't afford a fifth, so let's go to the clinic. Dude.
I was just saying, I think we should be smarter, and I think they are smarter. Reproductive rights. It's a person's uterus, not yours. That's just all I had to say, and I don't think.
But you know what? But you know what, though? I understand. And because you see this as you're focused on the woman, she's obviously a key player in this. But am I unfair in saying that you have zero regard for the interest of the baby? The separate and distinct human life that has been created. That's what a pregnancy is. It's the creation of a separate human life. There's a little boy or a little girl that's going to be born if you leave it alone. And why can't you leave it alone?
Well, it really just contributes to a society that doesn't have, that has children that doesn't, that, sorry, I can't get my words.
No, you're fine. You're okay. It's okay.
All right. We're contributing to a society of children that are unwanted and really are going to end up being those sources of trouble and criminal. And
but
I mean,
we may also abort the guy who cures cancer. I mean, this notion that we got too many people is on its face false. That, first of all, that's up to us as individuals to determine how many kids we want to have. Once someone has become pregnant, someone is engaged in, short of rape, engaged in behavior that could certainly result in a pregnancy. Then you got to figure out what you're going to do. A life has been created. What are we going to do? And there is no inconvenience. There is no economic strife that makes it okay to kill the baby, at least not to me.
Well, I think that we should certainly put more efforts into preventing accidental pregnancies in general. I think
sure.
We should. I think we should put more resources into informing our youth about safe sex. I don't.
Okay, sure. I'm a big fan of abstinence, but
you know,
okay.
Maybe unwanted pregnancies wouldn't happen if kids knew what a prophylactic was.
No, they probably would. I mean, listen, we're always going to have unwanted pregnancies. Reducing unwanted pregnancies, my favorite way to do it is to not be having sex outside marriage. That's the best way. But there are going to be unwanted pregnancies, no doubt. The question is, what are we going to do about them? And I just don't think in your heart that you want to walk around saying that these lives are expendable just because of some tough circumstances. Do you?
And I'd say I don't entirely believe that, but I do appreciate your willingness to listen to me.
Of course.
I do have to go. I appreciate it being on your show.
Well,
and I'd like to talk about this further.
Give me a buzz anytime, Kieran, and thank you. I appreciate you. 866-660-5759. We're in Fort Worth. Mark. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How you doing?
Doing great. How do I follow that? That is such a great conversation.
I'm glad. Those are some of my best days and some of my best times. And I hope that young man carries something forward from there, gives me a buzz back anytime, agree or disagree.
Yep. And I think that one of the things that's going to come before the Supreme Court one time is when do we decide life does come into, and when do we decide life is beginning?
Okay. Pause for a second.
At some point in time, it will have to come up.
At no point will any court ever decide when life begins. Ever. They can't. They're not qualified. So what they will do is determine what laws are constitutional. what a state can do. And the bottom line is, once the Constitution is honored, Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And then every state, exactly, every state will be free to do whatever it wishes. If one state wishes to virtually restrict every abortion, or every abortion short of rape and incest, which makes no moral sense, or anyone of just whatever, however restrictive they want to get, they can do that. And if the state next door wants to have abortion laws that are so permissive as to be ghoulish, they can do that too. And it is in those states that the debate would be had over when life begins. But even that's not going to settle it. All you can settle is, what abortions are we going to permit? The notion of when we all think life begins, and I think scientifically, the building blocks of life begin at conception, and the growth of the baby begins at implantation. There's just no getting around that. Some people will view that as a life worthy of protection. Some will not. And that's how we'll get a patchwork across America of abortion laws desired by the people in those states.
Now, my topic I was calling to talk about was the Kavanaugh.
Yes.
And the Democrats are wanting to get him not to be on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if they got what they wished? In November, there's 10 states that are Trump has won.
Mm-hmm.
And those people would have to face their constituency saying, I didn't vote for Kavanaugh. You got a state of West Virginia that Trump won every county in.
Yep.
And Joe Manchin. So I'd almost want them to take out Kavanaugh and let them face the voter.
Ooh. Okay. So here,
I love Kavanaugh.
Okay.
Because in January of 2019, Trump will be reelecting or putting up a new justice, and the next one will be just as good as Kavanaugh, or maybe even better.
So, if I'm understanding you correctly, if I'm understanding you correctly, it's like two trade-offs. If you are a Democrat, or no, if you are a Republican, would you be willing to sacrifice Kavanaugh, have that nomination fail, if you knew that all of a sudden all these Democrats who helped him fail would be beaten and we'd have 56 Republican senators? Conversely, for the left, would you be willing to accept Kavanaugh? Just go ahead and let Kavanaugh go. Let him on the Supreme Court. But the good news is you guys might take the Senate back. Interesting trade-off. Here's why it's not a trade-off I'd be willing to make, because Kavanaugh is going to pass anyway. He's going to fly, and we're going to keep the Senate anyway. So we don't really have a great risk right now. We're going to get both.
Well, and that's unless Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski say, hey, he's not qualified.
They're not going to do that. They're not getting. Now, it's kind of funny. They might have gone a little squirrely on Amy Coney Barrett. Go figure. Girl power. But I think they'll both vote yes on Kavanaugh. And even if one of them flip a coin does not, I think in the point that you very skillfully bring up, in West Virginia with Joe Manchin, in Indiana with Joe Donnelly, in North Dakota with Heidi Heitkamp, one of those folks will, if not all three, will vote for Kavanaugh, giving him the votes he need, even if we might lose a Republican or two. Thank you, sir. 851, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
You're so close now, I can't let you go.
Remember Magnet and Steel from 1978? Walter Egan has a birthday today. He's 69. So what's the coincidence? Christine McVie is 75 from Fleetwood Mac. Who's the harmony vocals here?
For you are a magnet.
That would be Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh.
All righty. All right, as this hour wraps up, I got an idea. Let's do it. Give me the password now. Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Put out a password 40-some minutes ago. Now I want it back. It's a Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Give it to us in the comments section. Rhonda's put it up. There it is, the template. First five that we can confirm are going to the listener lunch on Wednesday of next week, 11:30, Crossroads Diner, northeast corner of Preston and Kimball. Mark Davis Show Facebook page. So go do that right now, and we'll get ready for the 9 o'clock hour. First-time takers only, please try to spread the love. 9 o'clock hour next on 660 AM The Answer.
For you are a magnet and I am Steve.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.